When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
David Cobb covers college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. He's also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with me here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company on X, David W. Cobb. David, how's it going?
Hey, man, just trying to contemplate a reality in which Ja Morant may not play for the Grizzlies and Jeff Calkins is not on the radio airwaves. I mean, well, what's next? Is Graceland going to announce that they're moving to Chicago? I mean, what's next?
No, what's funny about it being Jeff's last day is the breaking news from Shams didn't come out till 56 minutes after his final show. So honestly, I feel good. I feel good for him that he didn't have to discuss it. It's not all that fun. There's a lot of content there. Not all that fun to discuss, though.
No, exactly. I would have felt bad for him because I know he had a bunch of folks, you know, coming on to kind of commemorate the occasion. And I mean, honestly, it would have been the perfect encapsulation of what it's like to cover the Grizzlies and be in the media in Memphis if that had happened. But for his sake, I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad he got his kind of farewell moment there before Ja just went you could say it's Ja. I mean, it's also sort of the Grizzlies here signaling their intent, right? You know, so however you want to look at it, but the latest bit of drama in what has become a never-ending saga, but it is crazy to contemplate it. I know, you know, you've probably talked about it a lot, but just the idea of, man, this is his seventh season in Memphis, and prior to that we had Mike Conley for what, how many years? So like between the two of them, you're talking about pretty much a two-decade run with two starting point guards in your city, and that's crazy. I mean, it's not quite like Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, on a Memphis scale, like that's as crazy of a run for two players at the same position as you're going to get. And to think it might be maybe nearing its end is pretty wild.
David, when did you stop covering the Grizzlies for the CA?
It was during Ja's rookie season.
Okay. I mean, it's just amazing. I ask myself, and I guess it's not that surprising that they're fielding trade offers at this moment. He hasn't played much, and when he does play, he's not playing well. Although, you know, not too long ago he had a 40-point game against the 76ers. But the question I keep going back to is, how did we get here so fast, David? How did we get here? This was supposed to be a championship-caliber team making a run, and now all of the unknown going into the future without Ja Morant, no lease signed, it's just it's a bit scary, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you could say it's death by a thousand cuts because there have been so many things along the way. But I think if I'm going to draw it back to one thing, it's going to be very early on in that rookie season for Ja Morant when I was covering the team. And they really neglected to surround Ja and Jaren at that time, and Dylan Brooks being a promising young player who was still early on in his time with the organization. They didn't surround them with the sort of veteran leadership and the sort of mentors that they really needed to get that era started in a really foundationalized sort of way. That rookie season for Ja, it was Jay Crowder for half the season, and they had a good relationship. But then they dealt Jay Crowder, understandably, because he was on an expiring contract at the deadline and had more value to a playoff team. And I get why they did that. But then the other vet, I think the only guy other than Jay Crowder on that team who was 29 years old was Solomon Solomon Hill, and he was more of a bench option who was never going to be around for the long haul either. And so I think there was a miscalculation there. When you had a rookie head coach in Taylor Jenkins, you had a young front office that was very, very inexperienced, very green at the time. Zach Kleiman, probably the youngest GM in the game at that point. And then you didn't have the veteran leadership in the locker room. And so I think it all started out in a little bit of a weird place, because it created conditions that allowed Ja Morant to veer in the wrong direction. And he didn't have the accountability from the start that he needed to really blossom into the professional that we all hoped he would. And I think all the signs were there to believe that he could do that on his own. He seemed like a high character individual coming in. And but when you don't develop and you don't give your talent the framework in which they can grow and thrive and mature, then it does, at least in some measure, fall on you when they fail to do that on their own. And I think that's kind of the ultimate story of the Ja Morant saga here, is that he wasn't put in a framework or in a position to have the support that he needed to develop into the man that you know he needed to be if he was going to meet what the Grizzlies' expectations were of him. And so it's a bummer. It's a bummer because he was unbelievable to cover, to be around, the light that he was, the joy that he was as a rookie. And that's just gone now. It is. I mean, it's just gone. And hopefully for his sake, if he's moved, then he can rediscover that somewhere else, because he's an unbelievable talent. And I do think behind some of the off-court mistakes, there's a good guy in there. And, yeah. And unfortunately some of these issues have obscured that version of him. But it's something that I hope he can rediscover, if not in Memphis, then somewhere else.
All right, David, I know no one's blameless and you just laid that out, but I got to ask you, and I sort of want you to pick one side or the other, like where do you place more blame? Ja Morant and his missteps, or the front office for not surrounding him with what he needed, coaching decisions, you know, personnel decisions? Like, where do you place more blame?
Well, the ultimate verdict on that will be rendered once we see who Ja Morant becomes post-Grizzlies. Because if there is a version of him that can get back to playing a high level of basketball and model citizenry off the court, then you have to look at the organization and say that it was their fault because they failed to cultivate the best from this guy. Now, if he continues to have missteps and the injury issues continue to be a problem, then maybe in the long run you do look and say this was a lost cause and it wouldn't have mattered what circumstances he was in. But, you know, I hesitate to assign it all in one direction or the other, because when something this promising and this that had so much potential goes the direction it has, there's got to be blame to lay at the feet of multiple parties here. And, you know, I want to say this too. I want to be careful in the way I phrase it, because you know, as a father now, you understand we all want what's best for our children, and we all hope and pray that we do the things that bring out the best in them. But I see it so often throughout sports now, not just with Ja Morant. You see it today with the DeMond Williams situation and some of the details there, and last year with Nico Iamaliava. Sometimes we have parents in our adult lives who are too meddlesome, right? And so I think there needs to be acknowledgement there that maybe even from within his very inner circle, there was a misaligned compass when it came to trying to point him in the direction that was best for him. And so that's something I'll say as well. And it's kind of a hard one to say, but, you know, I think we can all agree that even from within his inner circle, not just Ja Morant himself or the organization, that there were some poor leadership and poor decision making.
I agree with you. If he gets traded and, you know, gets back to 21, 22 Ja, then yes, we'll look at the organization, Zach Kleiman, front office, whole thing, and they will be who we place the blame on. But let me just get your honest opinion. Do you think Ja is going to ever reach those heights again? Because it seems as if the Grizzlies, Zach Kleiman and otherwise, have decided he's probably not.
No, I doubt it. I think the best he could hope for is to maybe go and become an all-star again somewhere else like that. I know he's never going to be an MVP caliber player. I don't think he's the guy who's going to lead a franchise to an NBA title. You see it yesterday with this week, whatever day it was now. I guess it was Wednesday when the Hawks traded Trae Young. I mean, there's a ceiling for what you can accomplish in this NBA with an undersized defensive liability of a guard as the face of your franchise. And the Hawks had their moment where they reached the Eastern Conference Finals with Trae Young. Excuse me. And at one point, the Grizzlies were modeling themselves early on in the John Morant tenure after the Atlanta Hawks, who had a promising young core around Trae Young, and then it went sideways for them, just in the way it's gone sideways for the Grizzlies. Different circumstances, of course, but I don't think it's a horrible analogy. And so, I mean, if I'm the Grizzlies moving forward, and who knows where it all shakes out in terms of a draft pick for them this year and into the future, you know, I've got some real qualms about taking an undersized lead guard, especially with some of the injury problems that you have elsewhere on your roster. And so it's unfortunate, man. I hate the way this has all played out for the Grizzlies, for Ja. But no, man, I don't see him getting back to like the elite level player that he was. And so that's why I think you've got to be real careful about what you expect to get back from him. I mean, I read this ESPN article earlier today about some potential trade scenarios, and they like a Raptors trade the best. And I think that would involve getting Emmanuel quickly back. And, you know, he's a fraction even at his best of the player that John Morant was at his best. So in large respect, you're moving John Morant, if you do it, to clear the path forward so that you can go out and pay players to play around Jaren Jackson Jr. and Cedric Coward and Zach Edey. And shoot, let's say it, Cam Spencer at this point. Right. So that's why you do it. That's why you make the move, not because you're trading the two-time former All-Star who looked like he might be a former MVP, and you're going to get three promising young players and two future first-round draft picks back for him. I mean, that's just not going to happen. You're just doing it because you're ready to move on, and you're hoping to clear some space to build the next era of what the franchise will be.
Well, you're trading Ja based on what he is now, right? So it's like you're not selling high. And I also just think in a general sense, like he brought up the Emmanuel Quickley thing. Emmanuel Quickley can shoot. Ja has to reinvent himself as a player to ever reach even close to the heights that he reached early in his career, because he's not getting to the rim as much. He's not able to finish at the rim as much. And the shot is just, I know we've talked about him getting a mid-range and shooting a three ball. It's gotten worse. You would think it would, after 7 years, you know, every single offseason. I know he's had injuries along the way, so maybe that's hampered it, but it's gotten worse. It's regressed. It has not gotten better in any way, shape, or form.
Well, the form has just always been awkward. It's been a low release, push shot, takes him a second to step into it. I mean, those issues have been there from the start. They were there for him at Murray State. They've been there for him, you know, really since he was on the radar whatsoever as a prospect. So, he's never changed it, never developed it. And that's a real issue. So if you're not getting to the rim, you're not finishing at the rim like we're used to seeing, then there's a hard cap on what he can be as a player. Hey, he can still be good. He can still be effective. He's still a great passer, great floor vision. He can still has the burst to get around the primary on-ball defender. But I'm also curious, too, how much the injuries have impacted his willingness to go and finish at the rim. I mean, when you spend half your life on the training table and in a walking boot and on the injury report, like it has a psychological impact as well. And so, I mean, that's as much of the Ja Morant reclamation project as anything is. Yeah. I mean, like you got to get back to the on-court performance to extract the maximum value out of him, of course. But then there's also the mental piece of it, because this is a young man who's been through a lot on and off the court. And he needs to be around people and in an environment where they can basically fix him. And, I mean, that's why you see the Miami Heat trotted out there as a potential destination, because they got that Heat culture, right? And maybe you send him down there under Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, and they can
– I've always thought that could be ugly, though. You know, I know that's structure, but I – you know. And maybe Ja needs that, but that's a lot of structure. I don't know. I don't know how that would land.
I don't know either. But I think the best spot for him would be a franchise that's currently non-contending that just needs a little jolt, a little excitement. Because Ja Morant can elevate a non-contending team into playoff realm. I think he can still do that. So I don't know exactly what team out there needs that. There just aren't a ton that are looking for point guards. That's part of the issue. It's going to be hard to find a trade partner, and then the salary and all that, and getting that to match is going to be tough. But I think it's time, right? Like it's time. And thankfully, like if you want to find a silver lining with this Grizzlies season, it's that even amid all the injuries, man, like there have been guys who have looked pretty good. Like Cedric Howard looks like a hit, you know. I mean, hopefully we get Zach Edey back to see a little bit more of him. But you found something in Cam Spencer, and you still hadn't even seen Scottie Pippen Jr. and Ty Jerome yet. And so, like, there's at least something there to, okay, if this is the direction they go, like, it's not all hope is lost. Like, you still have Jaren Jackson Jr. being a fairly consistent weapon for you on both ends of the floor. And, you know, it's like, all right, you can build around Jaren. He's still in his prime. Cam Spencer is showing a lot of promise. And, you know, there's enough there to where it doesn't feel like, oh, my gosh, the Grizzlies are moving on from John Morant. But I do think it's interesting what you said earlier on, the idea of, you don't feel great because maybe you're moving off a jaw at a time when the lease isn't signed. And to me, yeah, that's the biggest kind of underlying, from a business standpoint, the issue is, like, Memphis and Jeffrey and I talked about this yesterday. Memphis will never have ever a superstar with the marketability of John Morant. I'd be willing to put the over under at when the next time is that the Grizzlies have a player who gets their own signature shoe. I'll say over under 2055. Like, it might, yeah, never happen. Yeah, but you know, that the Grizzlies have that.
I was gonna say, to be fair though, you don't need that to be a successful franchise. You just need to win. Right, a lot of talk about ticket sales, and I get it, and I understand it, and I have those same concerns, especially with no lease sign. But, like, the most successful years of this organization are grit and grind, and there was not a superstar. It was just a good basketball team.
Yeah, I think the city would embrace that if they can get back to that. Find a gritty group of people. Just get some guys that stay on the floor for crying out loud. I mean, forget about Ja for a second. Yeah, he's a part of that conversation. But what in the world, man? Like, I've never been the conspiracy theorist type to say that, well, the training staff is to blame for this. But, like, we got to look under the hood and get introspective about the way we're handling injuries and the why guys are getting hurt. And what, like, you know, do they construct the FedEx Forum practice facility on an Indian burial ground?
Maybe.
Like, what's going on there? So that's a whole other question.
What's funny about the training staff, I think they've had turnover in the past 3 years, too. There's, like, new people in there. So I have a hard time blaming them, but you want to try to find blame when it's this ridiculous. All right, now to the CFP. Last night, Miami wins 31-27. They possess the ball for 41 minutes. Just holler at me about what you saw, why this game went the way it went.
I didn't think Carson Beck had it in him. I really didn't. And he proved me wrong. Proved a lot of people wrong. And in the process became one of the absolute best stories of this college football season. A guy who was knocked out a year ago due to an elbow injury at Georgia, had a very highly publicized divorce with Georgia, went through his ups and downs this season at Miami, but now the Canes are going back to Hard Rock Stadium to play for a national title after Carson Beck led them to a victory. Because, you know what, as much as we talked about Akeem Messidor and Reuben Bain and that nasty Miami defensive front, they're not the ones who won the game for Miami. It was the Miami offense and the way they stayed on the field and dominated time of possession, and Mark Fletcher Jr. having another huge game on the ground. And that Ole Miss defense, give them all the credit in the world for as hard as they battled. I mean, through 3.5 quarters, they had an answer for everything, right? And they had to be just getting exhausted and totally gassed by the disparity in time of possession. And then in the end, it finally caught up with them. And the last two possessions, Miami goes 75 yards, 75 yards. And Carson Beck had his first rushing touchdown since week three to seal that one. And think about this, man, how crazy, like, the margins are. Because if that 51-yard Lucas Carnero kick that bounced off the upright and didn't go in, if that goes in, then with 18 seconds left, all they need is a field goal to send it to OT. But yeah, just a brutal, brutal ending for Ole Miss. But I really didn't know that Carson Beck could do that. I needed to see him do that to believe that Miami could win it all. And I mean, that guy, he fundamentally changed the narrative around his college football career last night.
Third straight year with no SEC team in the national championship. And what really is insane, and obviously I understand Miami was not playing Georgia or Alabama, where you really get those big SEC bodies. Ole Miss, though, they've recruited a whole lot better and gotten bigger in the trenches since Lane Kiffin got there. Obviously, he's gone now. I get that. But, you know, they have some bigger bodies. They have those SEC bodies. They've recruited really well. But what I've noticed is Big Ten offensive line and defensive lines, and then this Miami offensive line, defensive line – the SEC is no longer the most physically imposing, because it felt like the third or fourth quarter, the thought that kept coming to my mind with Markell Bell, the left tackle at Miami, 6'9", 370, and their right tackle going to be a first-round pick, who's about 6'6", 330, and their interior guys are 325. My thought that kept coming back to me with the 41 minutes of possession time, with all the plays that Miami ran, that Ole Miss defensive line and front seven, it's just got to be impossible to have those big dudes lean on you for four quarters.
Oh, I know. I thought they did a great job of bending without breaking and batting balls. Like, even against Georgia, batting balls at the line of scrimmage against Gunnar Stockton, same thing that led to an interception against Carson Beck last night, getting your hands up because you can't pressure the quarterback. You know, maybe you can tip the pass, right? So, like, Ole Miss just did little things to keep themselves in it and force field goal attempts in critical situations. And really, again, in the middle eight, just like they did against Georgia, when Miami had a chance to pull away and then get the football to start the second half. I mean, Ole Miss bowed up and played strong. But to flip it to the other side of the football, one of the big differences was Ole Miss couldn't generate consistent rushing yardage. So Kewon Lacy had his 73-yard touchdown run, which inflated Ole Miss's running numbers for the whole game. But down to down, they couldn't bite off 4, 5, 6 yards like Miami could, and therefore they couldn't hold the football for as long. I mean, it was really like Ole Miss needed to start doing the fake injury thing a little bit because they needed to get their defense a little more rest. And the fact that defense for Ole Miss stayed in it as long as they did was unbelievable. But all year long, this was never a dominant Ole Miss defense. Last year's Ole Miss defense was pretty doggone good. This one was okay, but they couldn't withstand a barrage of that magnitude without their own offense providing some cover for them in terms of longer drives. You know, Ole Miss didn't finish a touchdown drive with a touchdown, until, you know, late in that game. It was a lot of field goals, a lot of shorter drives with the Kewon Lacy explosive there in the first half, but they didn't actually finish a drive with a touchdown until that go-ahead score with about 3 minutes left. And so, I mean, the cumulative effect on both sides of the football of Miami's physicality was overwhelming, and that is the Mario Cristobal blueprint that's taken him 4 years to fully implement. And boy, it's crazy, isn't it? Because they were so close to not making this field. And same as Ohio State last year, you got a team that honestly didn't have their best stuff during the regular season, but they thrive at the right time. And that's a team that, you know, 5 years ago wouldn't have been in the college football playoff, and 15 years ago would have been in a very whatever sort of bowl game. And now here they are with a chance to play for it all.
And David, it almost was the other part of the Mario Cristobal experience last night. You had on the drive that Ole Miss took the lead, with the Trinidad Chambliss touchdown pass, you had a targeting and then a late hit back-to-back. And then on the final play of the game, pass interference or no on Stribling? Looked like pass interference to me.
Yeah, they could have called it. I mean, they could have, absolutely.
Tough situation to call it in, though, admittedly.
Yeah, no, I mean, and even if they do, you're still running a play from the Miami 20-yard line, you know, with no time on the clock. So there's still no guarantee. Obviously, that's still a 10-15% chance, you know. So it's I don't want to make that call out to be the one that decided the game. But I mean, to your point, Miami really struggled to put that one away. From a standpoint of dominance, they dominated the game, lines of scrimmage as we've discussed, time of possession as we've discussed. But they lost the turnover battle 1-0. They were penalized 10 times in critical situations, and so I mean they really did try to give it away. I don't know. I still don't believe that Mario Cristobal is an elite in-game coach. I'm sorry. Like, I don't think he is. But the victory last night was won with what he's built over 4.5 years now since he took the job. And so that's where they won the game, is with the team they've assembled and the line of scrimmage fortifications that they've acquired. And, you know, that's impressive. And that's the blueprint now. When you look at Ohio State last year, Michigan the year before that, and Georgia in 21 and 22, this isn't the Joe Burrow, Mac Jones throw for 4,500 yards sort of college football world anymore. It's a ground and pound sort of game. And then would be remiss, man, if we went this whole conversation without shouting out once more the man himself, Malachi Toney.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, he's unreal. He's an incredible player. Just so fast, so twitchy, And it's crazy. You go back to the first quarter, maybe it was early second quarter, actually. Ole Miss has him dead at the line of scrimmage. Two guys have him wrapped up, and he leaks free of that tackle. And that's the difference between a touchdown and a field goal. 4-point difference on that play. And that's the difference in the ball game in the end. You know, little things like that. You got that stud playmaker in Ole Miss. Boy, they got some of their own. But they didn't have one quite that special. And so he made a huge difference in that game as well.
How do you see the game tonight before I let you roll? Rematch from earlier in the season. Indiana went on the road at Autzen and won 30-20.
Yeah, I've been wrong about a lot of things in this playoff game. I see this game playing out in Indiana's favor. My question, though, is, well, two questions, one for each team. It's, you know, does Indiana, without Stephen Daly, they were great against Alabama, but without him, he's their best edge rusher, tackle for loss guy, sack guy. He's out. He's hurt. And so does Indiana, against a quality offense, have the ability to impact Oregon the same way that Texas Tech did defensively? And if the answer is yes, then I really like Indiana. And then my question for Oregon is, I mean, you've probably seen it today, but Noah Whittington, their leading rusher, is going to be a game time decision. And they're already down their second leading rusher. And now they're sort of moving guys around on the roster to make sure they've got enough running back depth to get through the game. So that's a concern, too, because just when you thought Oregon was getting healthy on offense with their receivers, now you got their running back room in a dire position. And so if Noah Whittington can't play, that raises my suspicions a little bit more on Oregon.
Yep, for sure. Well, David, I'll let you roll. Enjoy the ball.
All right, man. Thanks.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb, college basketball, college football for CBS Sports, also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. Now, we need to transition NFL playoffs this weekend. We have Super Wild Card weekend. Let's get to a trip around the National Football League next. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it. We have a couple of things. Obviously, they have an open job. I think it's the best open job because of the guy at quarterback, number 8, Lamar Jackson. But there's been a lot made of the firing of John Harbaugh. And listen, we can look back at what happened this year. They missed the playoffs on a Tyler Loop kick that would have won the game, and he had been so consistent the entire year, just missed that. If he makes that, John Harbaugh is probably not out of a job, and we're probably not talking about Lamar Jackson and his antics and video games and everything else. But Todd Monken, offensive coordinator for the last 3 years for Lamar Jackson under John Harbaugh, came to Lamar's defense. And he basically said, I didn't coach Lamar well enough. I didn't have as good of a relationship as I could have. I didn't do the things we needed to do this year to win enough games to give ourselves a chance. I believe that. I appreciate this. Taking accountability for your part, your blame, is great. But at the same time, I don't even think that's necessary. Because in the end of the day, if Lamar Jackson didn't have the injuries that he had this year, I think this Ravens team cruises into the playoffs. They just had bad injuries at bad times, and their defense was awful to start the year. But once he got back in there, they started winning ball games, and they gave themselves an opportunity. And if it weren't for a Tyler Loop missed kick, we're not having these discussions with the same vigor that we're having them right now. I think Lamar Jackson's fine. So we'll see who the next coach is, which leads me to the next thing with the Ravens. They conducted two interviews today. One with Kevin Stefanski. Okay, AFC North experience. We know his style. Did an okay job with the Browns. You know, I don't think he did a tremendous job like everybody else. I felt like Jim Schwartz's defense and Myles Garrett lifted him up more than his offense, because he never really changed it. And if he was going to be the head coach for the Ravens, he better change his offense to fit Lamar Jackson. But the other one, which I absolutely love, Clint Kubiak. Clint Kubiak got interviewed today. He is the OC for the Seahawks, has done an unbelievable job with Sam Darnold. He runs that zone scheme and gets to play action. He's found a way. I believe he's found a way in the past to run his quarterback. So I think that would be an interesting hire. Still relatively young, has a great track record with his dad of being a potential head coach in this league. He's been a football lifer. I think Clint Kubiak would be an interesting hire for them, but we'll see ultimately what the Ravens do, because that's going to be a very wanted job. The Miami Dolphins made a hire at GM today. Don't really know the guy very well. But it is Packers VP of Player Personnel, John Eric Sullivan. Sullivan has been in Green Bay since 2003 when he joined as an intern. So he was an intern in 2003, worked his way all the way up to being the VP of player personnel. So that's pretty good. And that, the Packers organization has always been run well. So I guess that makes sense. But the Dolphins, they have to figure something out. Stephen Ross, their owner, fired Mike McDaniel late after an interview or after his, you know, exit interview. They need to get a head coach. There's a lot the Dolphins still need to figure out. Tua Tagovailoa, what are you going to do with Tyreek Hill? Tyreek Hill's been unhappy for some time. Your roster's not all that great. I let me ask you this, too. Do you think Mike McDaniel should have been fired?
Probably not.
They finished somewhat strong. They didn't stop fighting, which was my biggest concern about
them. I think
them.
Tua was their bigger issue.
Yeah, Tua is their biggest issue. If there was a better, taller, more athletic, stronger arm quarterback back there, maybe that team wins 11 games and gets into the playoffs. But Tua...
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
He clearly regressed and led the league in interceptions. And he, listen, that's something. Geno Smith quarterback this year. So we'll see what John Eric Sullivan does when he touches down. But I don't know the direction that the Miami Dolphins are going to go in. Do you? I mean, certainly you have to try and rebuild a little bit if you don't have a franchise quarterback, and Tua's not going to work out, and you're probably going to have some dead cap hits if you make some moves with him. So we will see. John Eric Sullivan has a job on his hands. We'll see if he can do it better than his predecessor. Mike McDaniel, he's going to interview with the Titans. Connor, I like it a lot. I like it the most of any interview I've seen.
With Cam Ward?
Yes. Yeah, I love it. I love it. How inventive he could get. And also, let's not forget, that offensive line's a little better than it has been. And Tony Pollard sneakily ran for another 1,000-yard. He had another 1,000-yard season. And we know Mike McDaniel's very good at scheming up the run game. I think Mike McDaniel's going to get some high-level OC offers. But I feel like, you call me crazy if you want, Cam Ward is the type of guy that provides player leadership, which is what I think the Dolphins were missing. So, like, Mike McDaniel's style with Cam Ward, I think it would kind of mesh. Good cop, bad cop, with your quarterback kind of being the bad cop. I don't mind that. I think it would make a lot of sense. And offensively, I feel like his scheme is a good fit for Cam Ward. Cam Ward is a good fit in a lot of schemes, but I think Mike McDaniels would be a match made in heaven. All right, now we need to get to these really aren't my power rankings. This is who I trust going into the playoffs, because the truth of the matter is, you don't have Patrick Mahomes, you don't have Joe Burrow, you don't have Lamar Jackson, you don't have the usual suspects. So you have a bunch of a few young teams as well, teams that don't have a bunch of experience here. The Broncos are still trying to get used to it. The Seahawks are the one seed in the NFC. You keep going down the list. The Pats with Drake May. So it's kind of hard to separate who can make a run from who can't, but I'm going to do my best here. Let's start with number 5. This is going to surprise you, but I think it works out well for them when it comes to potentially making a run. Their defense is ungodly good. It's phenomenal. Great edge rushers, great back end with Derek Stingley, Jalen Petrie, these other guys. Offensively, they played a whole lot better since C.J. Stroud got back in there. I'm going to put the Texans at number 5 just because I look at the bracket. You got the Steelers, probably the easiest matchup in the first round. In the AFC, if they get through that, they're more than capable of beating the Broncos. That's defense on defense. Whose offense is going to show up? I think the way C.J. Stroud and that offense has been playing, I would bet on them. So I feel like they have a chance to make a run. They are peaking at the right time going into the playoffs. Hopefully this little bit of a layoff hasn't bothered them. But they're playing really good football right now, and I think that they have what it takes to make a run in that AFC playoff picture. Everyone that I've seen this week, and I don't know why they're doing it to themselves, because I still don't trust this team, even though I trust them to a certain extent. I'm going to put the Eagles at 4. I've seen a lot of people put them at 1, though. A lot of people, championship DNA, won a Super Bowl last year, they're the 3 seed, their defense has been playing well. Well, okay, yeah. I think they have the makings of a team that can make another run and repeat, especially with the picture that we're looking at in the playoffs. But the Eagles just have to offensively try to get their pass game going and their run game going. Lane Johnson's questionable going into the weekend. Is he going to be able to give it a go? Can Saquon Barkley do what he did in the playoffs last year? A lot of these things are yet to be seen. But because of their talent, because of the way Vic Fangio's defense is playing, I'll put the Eagles in here at number 4. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. Big believer in the Seahawks. Last week of the season to get this number 1 spot, though, 13-3 offense didn't play all that well. I saw Sam Darnold in the Super Wild Card weekend last year with the Vikings. He did not play particularly well. I still think there's a little bit of back and forth there, but they are a complete team. Like their defense. Offensively, they have a good scheme with Clint Kubiak and Sam Darnold. They run the ball. Zach Charbonnet running for 700 yards. Kenneth Walker right around 1,900. So I think they're balanced. I think they're great. But I do worry about Sam Darnold and the potential for interceptions as a potential run in the playoffs goes along. I really like the New England Patriots. I really do. I think they're a complete team. Mike Vrabel, he has coached in the playoffs before. I do worry. I want to see what Drake May looks like in the playoffs. Is it going to be different for him? Is he going to be uncomfortable? Something to see with a young quarterback. But the Patriots have been consistent all year long, and I have no reason to jump off the bandwagon at this point. Rams. I shouldn't have to explain it. They've been here before. They have a coach who's been here before. They've won a championship, a Super Bowl, with the quarterback that likely will win MVP in Matt Stafford. Puka Nacua is playing really well. We'll see if Davante Adams can get back healthy. They run the ball pretty consistently with Kyren Williams. Their offensive line's been good. They have a young star at the defensive end position in Jared Verse, who's made plays all year. They have a lot of young guys on the defense side of the ball, but those young guys have playoff experience. So I'm believing in the Rams. So in review, I know some people may be surprised by my number five team, but it's the Texans, number four Eagles, number three Seahawks, number two Pats, number one Rams. I trust those teams the most of all 14 in the NFL playoffs. Connor, any issues? Who else would you add?
I don't know if I would add anybody. I like that you had the Texans in there because of their defense and just how well they've been playing at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I just think they have good matchups. They have some really good matchups in the first three. If they can get through that Steelers game, I think they're more than capable. I would pick them against the Broncos at this particular moment.
You hate the Broncos.
Okay, hate's a strong word.
I guess.
I definitely don't hate the Broncos. I like the Broncos. I just don't trust their offense. I don't. They're inconsistent. The Texans' offense has been way more consistent than them down the stretch. Not even close. The one team that I did debate about putting in here was the Jags. But their first-round game really concerns me. It's the Bills. They have more.
Tough.
Bills have the most experience of any team in the AFC playoff picture. So, like, are the Jags, who just got back to this point, going to be able to get through that first-round matchup, that super wild-card matchup? But the Jags, I feel like we're still sleeping on them, don't you?
I think we could be. The Bills game is going to be a big test for them. But, I mean, just like the Texans, they're playing their best football at the end of the season. So.
Yep. All right, now the news of the day is John Morant is being dangled out in trades before the trade deadline of this season, which expedited process. But small talk today. Connor, I believe you've pulled up some trade ideas, some trade machine.
It's more ideas that ESPN has presented, and we can just go through them and say whether we like them or not.
Cool.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
We'll do that next in Small Talk. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, the big story of the day here in Memphis is that Ja Morant and the Grizzlies may be breaking up soon. Shams Charani reported that the Grizzlies are taking calls on Ja Morant before the trade deadline. And with that, ESPN has put out a story with 4 mock trades that could potentially be on the table. Connor, let's go ahead and roll those out.
All right, the first one is the Miami Heat. The Heat obviously would get Ja Morant, and the Memphis Grizzlies would get Tyler Herro and Simon Fontecchio.
Oh gosh,
pass. If I'm doing a trade with the Heat, I'm getting either Jaime Jaquez or Khalil Ware.
Hero's not that bad though. That's not that bad.
He's not that
obviously
bad.
A defensive liability, but he can shoot. He can facilitate. There's some things to like about Tyler Herro in the game. He could potentially.
The problem is that you're gonna have to give Tyler Herro money very soon.
I want to see the rest of these trades, but Tyler Herro may be one of the better players that you could get out of a Ja Morant trade if that's something that the Heat would be interested in.
Maybe so. I just think that if you're making a deal with Miami, there are better players you can get that you aren't going to have to pay an obscene amount of money.
And I'll say this. I do wonder about Ja Morant in that Heat culture.
I don't think it makes any sense.
I get that.
That's where Noah LaRoche is.
Yeah, that too. And then the accountability part of it. Like, I know that people think Ja needs accountability. That's why this keeps coming up. Kendrick Perkins has said it in the past, oh, it'd be great for him to get in that culture, you know, get some, you know, some discipline. But Ja Morant, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure that would work out. What we got next?
The next one is a 3-team deal. It involves the Bucks and the Pistons. The Bucks would get Ja Morant. The Grizzlies would get Kyle Kuzma, Kevin Porter Jr., and a 2026 first-round swap. And Detroit would get Gary Harris in cash.
Okay. It's a hard pass
for me.
First round swap.
I don't want Kevin Porter anywhere near my team.
Kuz
is just a dumb basketball player.
Yeah,
Kevin Porter
reasons. I don't like that.
No, thank you.
I don't like that at all.
No, it would have to. If you're doing a deal with Milwaukee, I would probably want Ryan Rollins involved in the deal at least.
Yeah. Are you going to get first round picks out of a John?
It depends on who it is. I think that the difference between Trey and Ja is. You have more time to think about if you want to extend him. And I do think that Ja is the type of player, kind of like what David Cobb was saying. I don't know if Ja can lead you to a championship as your number one guy.
But if he reinvents himself.
If he does, that's if. But if he went to a team like the Bucks, where I don't think there would be any question about Ja would be the second best guy. Giannis would clearly be the first. That might get a team to put in a first-round pick because Ja and Giannis could make some noise. Now, neither of them can shoot, so that's a problem, and they don't really have any shooting on the Bucks to begin with. To be honest, though, for the Grizzlies, like Kyle Kuzma, Kevin Porter, and a 2026 first-round swap, if it wasn't Kevin Porter Jr. and
Rollins.
Somebody else, maybe. If it's Rollins, maybe. It's just I don't want Kevin Porter Jr. on my team. I don't want to root for a guy like that. Yep. Pass. Yep. No, thank you. All right, next one. Toronto Raptors, Ja Morant, 4, Emmanuel Quickly, Agbaji, 2026 first-round pick swap.
I don't mind this.
First-round pick, so top 14 protected.
I know David,
I don't hate this.
David Cobb brought up the Emmanuel Quickly thing. And he's not close to the player that Ja was at his peak, but Emmanuel Quickly's a good player.
He plays.
And he can shoot a little bit. And he's okay table setter, not great. He's kind of a scorer, I feel like. That's what I've known him as. Agbaji, how's he been?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know a ton about him in the NBA. I know the Grizzlies were interested in him at one point during the draft. Emmanuel Quickly, I think, is a fine player. If you get Emmanuel Quickly, Agbaji, and a first round pick, it's not a terrible return. Let's see. Agbaji this season, he has played 30 games, 15 minutes, 16 minutes a game, 17% from three. I'm good. I'm not sure I want him included in the deal. But I thought that's the only one so far that is.
I'm more interested in Tyler Hero than most people, probably.
Okay. The final one, it's a four-team deal.
Oh, geez.
Minnesota would get Ja Morant. The Grizzlies would get Rob Dillingham, Naz Reid, and a 2027 second.
I'm in.
Washington gets Terrence Shannon Jr., and the Jazz would get Mike Conley in cash.
I don't know. Like, Naz Reid would be an interesting fit with this team, but my God, he's a great player. And Rob Dillingham has a chance to grow into being a good player.
I think Rob Dillingham is...
I like that the most of all these.
I think it's the one that you could have the most conversation about. Rob Dillingham has struggled in his time in the NBA. He's still very young, but he's an undersized point guard. And I don't know if I want to get in the business with an undersized point guard. Again, the Naz Reid thing is interesting.
But how would you fit him into what you have right now?
And I do think that you have to have conversations about, okay, Naz Reid, really good basketball player, does a lot of things well. However, he's making about $25 million over the next 4 or 5 seasons. You'd be moving off of a Ja Morant contract to bring in a contract with Naz Reid, which will not age well. It will probably be a ton of money by the end of this deal. He also does a lot of things for you that Santi Aldama already does. Now, I can hear an argument for Naz Reid rebounds the basketball better, and he's a better defender. I'll hear that. I think that Santi is about the same score as Naz Reid is. And it's just, do you want to have both of them on your team at the same time? That being said, I think that this is the closest one to a deal that I would actually do.
And it's a straight second-round pick.
Now, I might, if I'm the Grizzlies, I would also say, listen, if we're doing a deal that involves Mike Conley, send him back to Memphis.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now we're going to continue this conversation on Ja Morant with Parker Fleming next.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.